Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. All right, guys, here we go. It is 5:01 at 90.1 FM Moody Radio, and we are moving on here today. It's Friday!
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I'm ready for a Friday.
Yeah, I am too. This could be a day of cutbacks.
What do you mean?
Yes, sirree, Bob. The Cubs are cutting back on their budget.
Okay.
They're taking a big old pruning shear to this, their vineyard.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they let Rizzo go. They let Tapera go. And who else have they let go so
Andrew
far?
Andrew Chafin and Jock Peterson.
Yeah, that's four of them.
Yes.
Okay, so who are we expecting to lose today?
Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell.
For sure.
For sure. There's always the possibility of Javi. But I haven't heard much talk about him, so I would assume that he's sticking around.
Yeah, and the reason he's sticking around is there's not a ball that's been thrown his way that he's afraid of swinging at.
True.
That's probably one of the reasons he's sticking around.
I would agree.
When you're making a run for the roses, dude, you got to have a guy that's got a little more self-control at the plate.
And you do want to not put just a complete minor league team up there because they do have to think about ticket sales. Even though the season is botched.
Totally.
So.
Super Die, you've been very quiet about this. You okay?
Not really.
I know. You know what? My hard thing, I was wondering about you when I heard this, because when we lost Rizzo, I thought, you know, every club always has a guy that's like plays from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And whether they're the best player or a medium player. So we got a top tier player in Rizzo who has that personality.
He's the heart and soul. I mean,
yeah, it's weird because
I was definitely surprised to see him as the first one to go of the big block that's coming out.
Do we have to even say the fact that he went to the personification of arrogance going to the Yankees?
Oh, anyway. I know. That was the biggest heartbreak for me.
I mean, that just makes you want to go, no.
I don't like the Yankees.
Well, you can't have a humble guy on the Yankees. Those don't go together.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You okay, Super Die?
Yeah.
She's having a hard day.
Sad.
It's really sad.
Well, it is sad because Rizzo's he's that kind of guy you just build a team around. Does that work that way in basketball at all, or did they go scorched earth in basketball? Nowadays, everything's changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's rare for somebody
to stay
for a long time.
Long time. It used to be that way.
Yeah, there are examples. I mean, you think about the Celtics and the Lakers and the...
Oh, those were teams, I mean.
In the 80s and... Yeah, I think, the 80s.
You think about Detroit, Bill Laimbeer, and all those guys.
So there are people who are associated with an organization who kind of are the mainstays. But I know it's a sad day for Cubs fans.
It's a sad day for Cubbies.
Yeah. I mean, they really did build that team around him. You know, in 2012, they brought him in, and he was there when the team was no good. And he stuck it out with us the whole time, and then they started throwing people like Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras in. And, you know, he was there from all of it. He was like the first.
Well, here we go, guys. We're going to go into a rebuilding mode here for a couple of years. And
here
it'll be okay. All right. It is 5:04 and we are on a Freedom Friday and we're talking different bodies of water.
Yep.
This is a small body of water. This is a small body of water, and I'm going to give you a hint of what this body of water is. We got a Carl and Crew prize pack on the line.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Well, what's the hint?
So the hint is, I'm going to give a few of them. Suck it.
What?
Suck it. That's a feast. Feast of Tabernacle or Feast of Booze.
So that's the name of a feast?
Sukkot. S-U-K-K-O-T.
Okay.
And it's commonly... This body of water is referred to in the Talmud. And remember, it doesn't have to be a big body of water. Wink, wink. It can be a little body of water. How do I say this? If you guess either the body of water that we're speaking of or where it was drawn from,
there's a hint. Oh, okay.
You can win the Carl and Crew prize pack.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, Carl and Crew prize pack, if you can give a guess and get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get it right. Carlin Group Prize Pack, 312-274-9624.
Think. What have I said so far? I've said Sukkot. Let's go with that pronunciation, Sukkot. And I've said Feast of Tabernacles and Feast of Booths, which are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And think what was happening, especially near the end of it. And I'm going to say Gospel of John. See, we're getting really generous now.
Okay.
And a body of water could be How did I say that?
You said it doesn't have to be a large body of water. It can be a small body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. What's the body of water that this passage is referring to? 312-274-9624. Allie got it.
Did I?
312-274-9624. Allie got it. Come on. Let's go, guys. Salo, what are you saying? Gurney?
Is it the well?
Yeah, it's close, but thank you, Salo. It's not the well. It's just a couple of chapters later. And this is going to be a tough one, isn't it, Allie?
It is. You're really close, Salo. You're close. So let's try Tim from Alsip. Tim, give us your answer.
I'm thinking it's Jesus, the living water.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this to you. Otherwise, we're going to be here all morning, Tim. But would you have any idea where that reference is coming from, what the living water means when he was looking at that as opposed to the dead water?
So I think I did a study on this recently. So I think in the Feast of Tabernacles, doesn't the high priest have like a ladle of water that he comes and brings and he kind of dumps out in the people of Israel? It's kind of like it goes back to Moses striking the rock, I believe. And Jesus was there at the time and he said,
yes.
Come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you water.
Yep.
That doesn't stop.
You nailed it, Tim. Tim from Alsip, let me tell you something. Yeah, it's from the Feast of Sukkot, or Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. It celebrates two different things. It celebrates the deliverance. It celebrates the water from the rock from Moses. And it's also a foretelling of the coming Messiah. So you're right, because in the Talmud, it is written down that what's amazing here, the Talmud cites that the priest would go to the Pool of Siloam, which is a pool of healing, right, Tim? The priest would go to the Pool of Siloam, pull out a ladle of water, and pour it on the altar. Jesus then saying, I am this living water, is pretty powerful. Tim, you're a winner, man. Chicken dinner, you hot dog.
Winner, chicken dinner.
That's really good.
Okay, Tim, you just nailed it, dude.
And there's no way you Googled that in the last 30 seconds.
Hey Tim, why don't you get in the Bible a little bit more, okay, hot dog? Why don't you bone up a little bit on the scriptures for crying out loud? All right, Tim, hang on the line. He's getting a Carlin Crew prize pack.
That's great.
Tim's got the mojo.
He's right. Jesus is the living water. Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast. We're looking at John 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Yeah, so it's all about the living water is Jesus, but through his life, the Holy Spirit will come and bring this ultimate refreshment. Now, let me break it down. Sukkot, or Sukkot.
Is the name of what?
It was a feast that's featured and spoken of in the Talmud, clarifying how this would have been so ceremonial, what Jesus did. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, and it, according to the Talmud, the priest, would go into the Pool of Siloam, reach in, grab a goblet of water, bring up to the altar, and pour it out on the altar. That was a big deal. Now, it was both a celebration of the water that Moses got in the desert wilderness wanderings of 40 years, but it was also a precursor or a sign of the coming Messiah who would be the ultimate refreshment for the nation of Israel and for mankind. Here's what's amazing about this. Jesus makes a bold statement. On the last day of the feast, is what Ali just read, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." You know what this would have meant? He would have said, "You see what the priest is doing here? I am that Messiah." That's a bold statement.
For him to claim to be the living water, and that if you thirst, come to me. That's a big claim, to claim that you are the one who can satisfy the ultimate thirst for life, salvation.
What are people doing to find satisfaction for thirst right now? Let's go.
You can find satisfaction in your career, in achievement, in children, in substances, in busyness.
What does it mean for someone right now listening to us, guys, to allow Jesus to quench the thirst of their soul? What does this mean? How does it happen?
It's a turning away from all of these other things as a source. Children are wonderful, but my source of life cannot be in my children or even my spouse as much as I love them. My source of fulfillment and life and purpose cannot be in my career as much as I love my job.
Or your identity.
Or my identity.
Or how you're perceived by people.
Right.
That's a big one. I mean, maybe you've been on the treadmill of trying to prove your worth to people around you. You can't do it. You will never find life there. Anything else coming to mind, guys?
I think you can make a lot of those things that Ellie mentioned just idols. That's the other reason. If they become idols, how are you going to know you're even thirsty? You have no idea.
And that's the point that we're driving at here, is that Jesus said all these other things that you're trying to quench your thirst with, they don't work. They just don't work. And so I'm asking you to set down your idols, to set down all those thirst quenchers that you've had up to this point in time, and to receive Jesus. I'm being that bold. And there's a lot of you that are cultural Christians, and you don't know the real Jesus. You believe that he is Jesus, but you've never given every bit of your life to him so that he can pour his life into you. That's the bottom line.
And the interesting thing is, we're talking about all these beverages. There's a lot of times people will choose a Coke or a Pepsi or lemonade or all of these things. But when it comes to ultimately satisfying a physical thirst, if somebody is dehydrated, you don't give them Pepsi or lemonade. You need water.
Yeah.
That's what you need to sustain your physical life. Yeah. And the same is true with these substitute thirst quenchers in the spiritual sense. You can go to all these other things that may promise a little bit of pleasure, that may taste sweet in the moment, but ultimately your thirst will never be satisfied other than through living water, and that's Jesus.
There you go. So I'm just going to ask you really clearly right now, are you ready today? Here's what's cool. Here's what's awesome. This is only the Holy Spirit's work that will convict you of the need for Jesus to quench your thirst. Have you today come to this point in time right now, and it's like, whoa, God is singling me out to give my life to Jesus right now, where you're, it's no longer you are going to look at him from afar and go, that's Jesus. No, you're going to let him quench your thirst. The life of Jesus is going to be poured into you today, and it's the first time in your life. It's never happened before. You've been a cultural Christian up to this point in time, or you've been far from a cultural Christian. You've been running away from God up to this point in time. I'm asking you, will you let Jesus quench your thirst today? Now, count the cost before you do this. Let's be very real. This means that you are turning away from all your substitute gods and idols, like Super Diet just said, and you are letting Jesus quench your thirst. Unlike all these other things, like Ali just said, that are substitute thirst quenchers, you're letting Jesus quench your thirst totally, completely. For the first time in your life, are you ready to do that today, right now? Just say, yep, that's me, Carl. Just say it. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. You don't even have to close your eyes. It's a cry of the soul. Are you willing to say today, Jesus, I believe that you died for me, that you lived and died for me, that you were poured out as this drink offering so that I would have my soul's thirst quenched. And today I believe that you died for me and you live, and I'm ready to receive. Are you willing to confirm this by saying, I repent and turn around from every other thirst quencher I've had in my life, and today I give my life to Jesus for the first time ever? You got to get there. I did. You have to. It's got to be more than just Jesus is a good man or the Messiah. He's got to quench your thirst. Are you ready today? Just pray with me. Jesus, I believe and I thank you. I thank you that today you've made me aware that I have not made you the thirst-quenching one of my soul. I've left you on the outside, but today I bring you in. I receive you totally and completely. I have nothing else. All I have today is you. I turn around, I repent from all the direction that I've been walking, and I give my life to you today. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for rising again, and thank you for quenching the thirst of my soul right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
If that's you, we just want you to do one more thing. When you can do so safely, just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. If today you are making Jesus your Lord and Savior, you're giving your life completely to him, text the word ME to 312-274-9624. We just want to send you a little quick start guide that's going to give you some next steps, some encouragement. ME to 312-274-9624.
Probably an appropriate song for this story.
I figured.
Yep.
5:47 is the time. It's Carl and Crew Mornings. It's Water Week, and we're talking today about, on a serious note, get back there as soon as we can, everlasting water. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Both are interchangeable names. And it was an awesome picture. It comes out of John 7, 37 through 39. And we'll get back to that, like I say, as soon as we can. Because Jesus claimed that he was the living water. The priest would have dipped into the spring of Siloam and dipped out some water, the pool of Siloam, and poured it on the altar. We'll get back to that. That's an awesome story, by the way. But right now, Allie's insisting... that
it's
we
just
go
such
back
a funny
here.
Story.
And really, she is insisting
this. See,
you
I go to the water park with your adult daughter to spend a fun day.
Mystic Waters.
Okay, Mystic Waters. And there was one particular ride that you wanted to get on, right?
Yeah, and I'd never been on it. Meryl said, want to get on this thing. And we'd just gotten out. So we're walking around the park soaking wet, you know, because just gotten out of some big slides. And park's quite full.
Yeah.
And that's probably the oldest guy in the park.
Okay.
And Meryl says, oh, well, let's just step here. And you go from one path. You can step through a couple little grass spots around a boulder and get into the line
around the boulder.
Of the other ride, of the ride I wanted to get on to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you decided to go off the beaten path, off the paved path.
Well, off the paved path, but it sure didn't look like it was a big offense to me.
Okay. So what happened?
So some kid... with a Mystic Waters jersey on and a badge that says security, blows a whistle at me and my daughter.
Oh,
and
no, you got the whistle.
At the top of their lungs.
Sir, sir,
sir,
sir,
sir. Sorry, sir, you cannot get on the ride going that way. You need to come around over here. They yelled at the top of their lungs.
Man.
Meanwhile, I've got a line of about 50, 60 teenagers turning around looking at me.
I'm there with you. Are you born alive?
The most awkward thing in the world. It was horrible.
How old was the kid who
18?
Was blowing the whistle?
Kid who's blowing the whistle is probably, when's the first year you can work? 15?
16, 15 maybe?
Yeah. Worker's permit.
Yeah, this person.
Sir, sir.
This person's never worked a pick and day in their life and they're blowing the whistle at me.
It's like, oh man, I got a whistle on this guy.
It was horrible.
The oldest guy in the water park.
It was absolutely
horrible. Where'd she go?
Meryl disappeared into the fabric of the park. And while her dad's getting reprimanded.
She's
gone. Do you feel shamed?
Yeah, there was a moment of absolute shame because when they blow the whistle, hundreds of people.
Oh,
turn
everybody
around
looks.
And go,
oh, sure. Yeah.
Because you got to see what it's for.
What's going on over
Who's
here?
This guy trying to cut through? Go the
I
wrong
actually
way.
Wasn't trying to be bad. I'm just, if there's a shortcut, there's a shortcut for crying out loud. So, I mean, I wasn't cutting in line.
It's, no.
I was quickly getting to the back of the line, but.
I think we need to hear more testimony from witnesses to make sure that there's no foul play here.
I should probably call my daughter and actually have her.
That's pretty funny, though.
Call in a little bit later.
A little embarrassing.
A little tough.
Funny.
All right, we want to know something about this topic. This one right here. Most embarrassing moment you've ever had at a water park.
Okay.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
At a water park.
At a water park.
Or can it be a swimming pool or can it be any water related?
Any water related activities.
Okay, water related embarrassing moments. So this could be on a lake. This could be at the pool. This could be at the water park. A little moment of shame and embarrassment on the water. That's what we're going to get for just one segment only. You got one of those stories? Man, we want to hear it. 312-274-9624.
Coming up, I have what you may think is the most embarrassing water story that a person can have.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I'm so excited.
Jonathan.
I'm fired up. 312-274-9624.
We want to hear your story, too.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night.
Yeah. All right, guys, 5:56. We got so many calls coming in, we might only get to Young Thunders here. All right. What's the question?
Well, Carl just shared his embarrassing water park story of having a 15-year-old blow the whistle on him as he tried to take a shortcut through the grass
really
when they wanted him on the page.
I wasn't trying to get in front of anyone.
Well,
I was just trying to save a
funnier.
Big walk.
It's because you didn't even realize you were doing anything.
No, I didn't.
And then all of a sudden, you've got hundreds of teenagers staring at you like, who's this
Horrible.
Guy who doesn't know the rules?
Who's the old guy with his adult daughter here that's cutting in front of everyone?
Who disappeared.
Young Thunder, what happened to you at the water park or pool or lake?
Yeah, so this was, I think it was more of a, you know, like a river or a lake that I was on with my dad and my brother, and we were sitting in a little fishing canoe, all three of us. I was a kid at the time. I don't know, probably 11, maybe 12, somewhere around that age. And we were all sitting in the boat. My dad's hooking us up with baits on the fishing poles because we're all going fishing. And he hooked me up first. So I threw my fishing pole in while he's trying to set my brother up. Immediately, I catch a fish. I'm excited. I'm like, man, I've never caught a fish this fast. And my dad, he's getting a little stressed because he's trying to get the other fishing poles hooked up, but he has to take this fish off of my, because I don't know how to take the fish off my own hook. So he throws it back in. I cast again, catch another fish. I pull up again. He has to take it off. Third time, I catch a fish. I think it was the same fish all three times. Just kept biting the hook.
Usually that, by the way, that's never funny. The case, but anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, okay, so third time, like almost immediately, now I'm super excited. So what I do is I am like bracing to catch this fish, and I'm like, I caught another one. So I stand up. I forget where I'm at completely, and I stand up in the middle of the boat.
Oh, no.
And as I stand up, obviously I'm throwing this thing off balance, and it starts to shake. Oh, no, it's going over. The whole boat turns upside down. Me, my dad, my brother all get knocked out of the boat. The open tackle box gets knocked out of the boat. All the supplies go in the water. The fishing poles in the water. The boat upside down. We all have to try to swim back to shore.
Jonathan,
it was
no.
the most embarrassing thing in the entire
goodness.
World. My
was your,
dad.
How was your dad doing?
He was very thankfully calm and very gracious about it because I was crying and freaking out because Aww. I'm in this very like silty, muddy water and trying to stay afloat with my life jacket on. Yeah, it was just a bad situation, man.
That is too good. That is too good.
That is hilarious. Your brothers, they were probably pretty mad at you.
My brother remembers it to this day.
Sure.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
We're talking about what in the world it is that you use to quench your thirst before you drank from streams of living water, which is the very life of Jesus Christ. And I mean, for me, I guess it's been a little while, a month since I've shared my testimony, but my testimony is really mine, and it's very real for me. I think my story is as simple as I was on this mad scramble for things to quench my thirst. But what I want to talk about is how unquenchable my thirst was.
What do you mean?
I could find nothing to quench my thirst. That's the point for me. So I was looking for anything to fill that up.
What was it a thirst for?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it was a thirst for fulfillment. That's why when mm-hmm. Jesus says, I want to give you life and life to the full.
Yes.
I think that's what I was looking for. It was fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Full and fillment. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I mean, breaking that word down a little bit. But a lot of people look at cocaine and they go, well, that's just the stupidest thing in the world. It's really not when you think about it. It's an attempt to get a rush of fulfillment mm-hmm. in a moment. I mean, and a lot of people do that in a lot of different ways. So I would snort lines of cocaine to get that fulfillment. And I'm going to tell you right now, it filled you up. There is no question about it. For when I first started snorting coke, it would fill me up for probably a good hit, 30, 40 minutes, and it was filled, okay? It would have diminishing returns. And then it would have mind games galore. So then it was got to the point where it didn't last at all. I remember one time I'm leading a construction team on us. It was called Save 2. It was a beautiful school in downtown Anchorage, right on International Parkway. And I went and took a line of coke, went out and got some guys lined up on a job. And within about 20 minutes, I was like needing another line. And I remember thinking, whoa, the returns on this thing are diminishing. I remember thinking, this stuff has no staying power now at all for me anymore. Mm. That was really scary because I was living from hit to hit. And a lot of people are trying to quench their thirst from hit to hit.
Right. And does that not, kind of what from what I know about from studying addiction, doesn't it drive you to seek more and more and more to kind of try to pursue what you felt like you had in the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, it's really true, Allie, because what I was trying to gain, the diminishing returns kept increasing. So therefore I would go to the guys that I was connected with and I'd go, listen, don't give me any of this cunt junk. I want this real stuff. Don't give me any cunt junk. And it led me into a crazy life of even finding a connection that would get me the real stuff from California. And then that package got busted by the feds. It was just a nightmare. But I don't know that my cocaine use and then drinking booze, I was a whiskey drinker. I don't know that. I don't think it's any different than anyone trying to quench their thirst. If you're trying to quench your thirst through buying clothes, there is no amount of clothes you can buy that can quench that thirst.
Right.
Isn't that fair?
Right. If you're trying to quench your thirst through achievement, which is what I was doing, getting great grades and awards and things like that.
How was that working for you?
It feels good for a moment,
but then it's gone.
It's empty.
It's
and
like
you feel like you have to keep going for more because you think it's this moving target of, okay, then it must be this or this. So everybody's using something to try to quench their thirst, and none of it satisfies, so it keeps you chasing something that you'll never find.
You are so right. Listen to this, guys. This just came in from 3282. Take a listen. This is amazing. I was trying to quench my thirst by being the best wife, mother, sister, and daughter. Hmm. But after 15 years, I found myself dehydrated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
November 29th, 2019, I found Jesus and I thirst no more. Mm. Boom!
Wow.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about right there. See, here's the deal. I am really concerned for you who are not cocaine snorters, because here's what Satan has done. Mm-hmm. What has he done?
I think what he's
done... You know
done,
where I'm going here.
Yeah, absolutely, is he's kind of convinced us that the things that aren't cocaine or heroin or alcoholism are acceptable, that they're better, you know, that they're less harmful.
And that it's achievable.
And that it's achievable. And okay, I can work for this. I can work to be this good husband, father, family man. And I'm going to put everything I can into that. But we've all seen it, because I think we've all done it to an extent or another, is trying to do it on our own strength and dehydrating ourselves.
See, here's the point. I don't care if you believe in Jesus. Demons believe in Jesus. I'm asking you, have you taken a drink from Jesus? Have you received him as the living water? That's the question. And I'm telling you, the road to hell is paved with people with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with people and lined with people who believed that Jesus was the Son of God from a distance, but never dared to let him quench their thirst. That's a fact. How do I know that? Jesus said it over and over again. And so I don't care if you are a church person, if you have never let Jesus quench your thirst, you do not know what it is to have your thirst quenched. You are maybe trying to get a little more religion on you, or do good, or buy clothes, or get a nicer house, or get that retirement. But I'm telling you right now, only Jesus can quench your thirst. That is a fact. We hear it over and again. And I love this story. This is so real. I tried quenching my thirst by being the best wife, mother, sister, and daughter. But after 15 years, I found myself dehydrated. November 29th, 2019, I found Jesus and I thirst no more. Here's what's cool about this. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can convince you that you need to quench your thirst with the streams of living water, and his name is Jesus. Is he doing that right now? Is he convicting you and convincing you that you need that? Good. Then here's what you need to do today, right now. I'm asking you to bring to mind all those things that you've tried to quench your thirst with right now spiritually. And I want you to do something bold. I want you to yell out to God if you're in your car, and speak it out if you're in a public place, or if you're at home. You can just speak it out loud and just say, they don't work. Just say it right now. They don't work. They don't work. Just say it. This is powerful when you say this. They don't work. Just speak it out. Are you ready? Just tell God, I'm ready. Tell him, I'm ready to drink. I'm ready to receive Jesus and to let him quench my thirst. Now, Jesus said he loved the world so much that he came, he lived, and he died, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life, because you're going to have streams of living water flooding your soul. But you got to believe that Jesus had to come and die for your sins. Do you believe that he had to come? That there was no amount of work or sacrifice that you could do that could get those squared away? Good. And if you do, and if you're willing today to surrender everything to Jesus, to turn around and give him your life, welcome. We'd want to pray with you right now.
Yeah, you just cry out to God. We'll pray with you, but this is a conversation you have to have between you and God, where you confess, God, I've been thirsty, and I have been trying to fill this void, quench this thirst with all of the wrong things. And today I say, I believe, Jesus, you are the living water. I believe that you are who you say you are, that you did what you said you did. You went to a cross for my sin. And today I say, you are my Savior and my Lord. If that's you, I want you to do one more thing. Just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. Text the word ME, 312-274-9624.
Yeah, it's awesome, guys. We're so happy for you. Just the word ME, 312-274-9624.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
What were you using to quench your thirst before Jesus, the living water? 312-274-9624.
We've got J-Rock, it looks like, first-time caller from Chicago. What do you say?
How's it going, man?
Going good.
Going good. I want to say that, that a lot of the times what used to quench my thirst was just that mental protective state where you kind of you ran mentally where you kind of escaped reality, and that was addictive because it's like whatever, any pride and ego that I had associated with that, you know, as a protective bubble, I found that addicting because it was like it was safe for me. I knew how to maneuver in that, and that gave me safety. That gave me some type of power, right? And so,
that's a powerful insight, J-Rock. When did the Lord show you that you were doing that to kind of insulate yourself? When did that happen?
I want to say it's been gradually. There's still areas that he's still revealing that. He's like, oh, you still kind of do this to protect yourself, and you need to trust me in this area, and you don't. And it's kind of like, you know, like a child in the safety blanket, like, don't take this away from me, you know, and it's still, but it's gradual in different areas. But I want to say I started, Jesus came to me in 2011. It was one of my times when I was heavily drinking, and he revealed himself to me. And then little by little, he started revealing certain things and then placing certain family members around me to kind of like just confirm that this is what, you know, your family history, this is your generational curse that you're breaking. And it's not easy, but this is your drug. This is something that we got to break you free from so you can transform and pass that on to the kids that you have.
Right on. So, J-Rock, I love you, man. Thank you for calling in this morning, bro. Thank you. Mike in Antioch, what do you say? Got a moment for you here, bro.
I relationships and people for acceptance. And it's okay to have people and relationships, but not let them be the determining factor, you know, of your happiness or your peace.
Absolutely, Mike. You are right on about that. Not letting people be the determining factor of whether or not you're going to be up or down.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's powerful. We're going to go to all you callers right now, and you keep calling in 312-274-9624. Beatrice, what was it?
The last word. I had to have the last word.
Oh, that's good.
It doesn't matter who it was or what they were talking about. All my life I had gone to Sunday school. I knew all of the answers. I didn't know what it meant to me, but I knew the answers to all the questions. I had to have the last word.
Beatrice, that is so profound that you can identify that as such. I am, sister, that is powerful. She had to have the last word. Okay. What a great insight. What a great observation about yourself. By the way, shows that pride has broken out of her to be able to call in and say that. Let's keep going here.
Let's go to Marie, first-time caller from Des Plaines. What were you using to quench that thirst?
Relationship. As a single woman, you tend to look for love where you're not supposed to be looking for it. And then when you end up getting hurt, the only peace and solitude you can find is in Christ.
Yeah, right on, Marie. Right on, Marie. I'm so glad you found the living water. You got something else there, Marie, you want to say?
Yes. For all the single women out there who are listening today, I just want to say this. The only relationship that's worth having is with Jesus Christ.
Right on, Marie. First-time caller, sister. Boom, boom, boom. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. Keep Marie on. I want to give her a Carlin Crew prize pack just because I feel like it. Way to go, Marie. You sit there and testify and you challenge the crew like that. Right on. Let's keep cooking here.
Let's go to Ann from Dyer, Indiana. What were you using to quench that thirst before Jesus?
Well, like a lot of women who have a history of abuse, I got into compulsive behaviors, a lot of them. Drugs, sex, alcohol, spending, eating. And when I came to Jesus, I finally realized that these things were idolatry, that what I was doing is I was taking pain, I was taking anger, all of this, and I was giving it to my idol, my compulsiveness, instead of turning it over to God, instead of saying, God, help me, you know, break the stronghold, break the bitterness, you know, break the chains of my past. But the problem that I ended up having was food, because in the church, if your problem is drugs, alcohol, sex, you can give those things up, but you can't give up food. And it seemed to me like the Christian church kind of like never talked about gluttony being a sin. You know, that's like the unspoken sin of the Christian church. So I didn't have to go into a bar, didn't have to get in relationships, things like that. I could avoid every other addiction, but I couldn't avoid the temptations that hit me with church. So that's something that I kept struggling with. And finally, I ended up getting a disease because I was way too fat. I got cancer. I got borderline diabetes. And the people told me it's your lifestyle. You know that this is more than just fat that you're carrying, gluttony. This is going to kill you, you know, if you don't change your diet. So they put me on a ketogenic diet and said, you got to do this. And this is something I had to take to God, and it's tough. It's tough when your sin is something that you can't stop doing, that you just have to modify.
Yeah.
And I had to turn to God every day. I mean, right. Literally every day for this.
And you are an
inspiration. And I lost 90 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, and you are an inspiration, sister. Thank you so much for calling in. I mean, that's cutting to it.
Wow.
Compulsiveness in drugs, in relationships, in sex, in you name it. And then food was the final straw that broke the camel's back and gave her life in Christ.
Yeah.
Woo! Ella in Hickory Hills, what do you say, sister?
Good morning. So I became a widow at a really young age. I was 30, and then I wanted to remarry at some point, and I was just looking everywhere. I was on every website trying to find someone, but then when I found Jesus, I saw that he will help me, and I gave it to him. And I said, God, I want a man who is on fire for you, and that's when I will know if that's the right person. And if not, I have Jesus. I'm fine anyway.
Rap. Ella, boom, wow. Sister. That's why we call you the Boom Crew here.
That's
Come
amazing.
Come on now. Loving this morning.
What about you? We've got room for your call. You were using what to quench your thirst? I was trying to quench my thirst for life through this. What was it?
Come on, Allie. What were you using to quench your thirst before Jesus became the living water?
Achievement, pursuit of success and career and just whatever that it seemed like was going to get me an accolade.
Were you ever living for the eyes of people, or no? Was it just the achievement?
Or I would say it's for the eyes of people, because I liked to have things that to put on a resume to kind of affirm what I wanted to be. If I have these things that I can list, then I'm doing okay and I'm successful.
Everybody's quenching their thirst with something. Everybody. What did God free you from? You were trying to quench your thirst with fill in the blank. Guadalupe in Chicago. This one thing was trying to quench your thirst and it didn't work. What was it, Guadalupe?
Oh, it was overspending. I used credit cards to try to fill that hole in my soul. I have gone through 3 cycles of paying off $30,000 of debt. But once that hole was filled with Jesus, I started following 10-10-80, you know, give 10, save 10, and live off of 80%.
Yeah, sister.
And at this point, if I can't save up for it, or if I can't pay for it outright, it's going to stay on the shelf.
If the envelope has no money in it, you sure ain't going to grab a piece of plastic, are you, Guadalupe?
Oh, for sure.
There you go.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Diane in Hanover Park, what do you say, sister?
Well, mine was relationships, whether it was a girlfriend to go shopping with or to sew with or to hang out with, you know, at the bar and guys and everything. And I told the Lord, this is ridiculous. I can't keep doing this. And one by one, he plucked all those bad seeds out of my life. I'm left me with 1 or 2 good friends, plus my daughters, and I have him and them, and that's all I need.
That is beautiful, Diane. We love you, sister. Boom, boom, boom. This is why we call you the Boom Crew. Give me some splish splash, man. I'm loving the Boom Crew today.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night.
What's that got to do with me loving the Boom Crew? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Turn it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time I was.
All they do on this song, and they got paid millions for this.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Splish, splashing.
Woo!
Yeah. Right there. We're taking your calls.
I was trying to quench my thirst for life, for purpose, using this. What was it? Jesus is the living water. But a lot of times we go to all kind of other things first. Philip, what were you going to? Philip from Aurora, what were you trying to quench your thirst with?
Hey, good morning, gang. You know, that song took me back. I'm going to see how old I am. But Carl, I think you're right there with me.
Hey, easy now, man. Don't throw me in the same boat with you, even though we're doing Water Week, man. All right, go
that's
ahead, Philip.
That's right. There's plenty of life boats for
us. Yeah,
that's
right.
You know something? You guys know. I've talked before, man. I love you guys. You know, I was so seeking to quench my thirst with drugs and with sex and with inappropriate relationships. And also, I realized it was also about achievement. I thought if I got more, you know, the next big gig, the next big part, the next big role, you know, that was going to fill that void, that emptiness inside of me. And it's like the Samaritan woman at the well when she said, "You know all about me.
Yes.
You told me about myself.
You still love me."
And and you still love me. I'm a mess. I'm an absolute mess. You know, and yet you see through that mess and say, no, there's a mission inside of you, young brother.
Yes.
And you are going to do my work for me, whether you realize it or not. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh, Philip from Aurora, I love you, man. You call in anytime. We're asking this question, and Philip just answered it. It's good.
I was trying to satisfy and quench my thirst using this. What was this for you? 312-274-9624.
Taking your calls. Let them pour in. Rose in Wonder Lake, what do you say?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was using stuff. You know, being materialistic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How was that working for you, Rose?
You know, he broke me. I mean, literally broke me with nothing to my name about 3 times. Before I realized it wasn't working.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Rose, that's what we're talking about. Taking your calls right now, guys.
I was trying to satisfy my thirst using this, 312-274-9624. What was it, Rhonda from Chicago calling in this morning?
My need to fix everything.
What do you mean by that?
If your relationship wasn't working, I would fix it. If you were an alcoholic, I would fix you. If you were addicted to anything, I would fix you.
The problem was, Rhonda, you couldn't fix yourself.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And I'm the first person to say that.
I love you, sister. Thank you so much for calling in, Rhonda. Beautiful story. Margie, first time caller in Chicago. What was it you were trying to use to quench your thirst?
I was trying to find acceptance in relationships, always searching for to fit in, alcohol, drugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and God is so good because
yes.
He's still there, even though I'm still not all together, but he's not letting me go, and that's by his grace.
Yeah. Well, here's what's cool. So you were broken, you were at the bottom, just like me, Margie, and God picked you up. So he saved your soul, but now we're in his hands. We're still a mess, but we're in his hands, and he's putting us together, Margie. You feeling that with me?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you're right about that, sister. Margie, first-time caller from Chicago. That's what I'm talking about.
That's good. Let's go to Pam from Chicago. What were you using to try to quench that thirst?
I just worry. I ain't want to moan my grandmother dead, so I just put myself in work. Then my son died with liver cancer, and I worried. And my sister died with coronavirus, and I worried. I just worried because I ain't know how to grieve. I just work. But listen to y'all guys make me feel so good, because right now I know that you can't put money before God, because money outlives you. So I'm content now. I love listening to y'all guys. Y'all make me realize that I could slow down.
Hmm. Yeah, you know what, Pam? Thank you for calling in. And you are right on, Pam. We can slow down. See, the problem with trying to get your thirst quenched is you're on a picking rat race, man. It's like a hamster wheel from hell. You can't get off this stupid thing.
It's horrible.
But man, by the power of Christ, we can. That's the gospel. Dave in Chicago, give it to us, man. You were trying to quench your thirst with this, and it didn't work. What's this?
So many, many years, I was trying to be a golf pro. Started golf late, and golf consumed my life. I mean, I gave up everything for golf. You wouldn't see me in church. You'd see me out on the golf course because they weren't crowded Sunday morning. You know, in the middle of a Bears game, I'd be out on the golf course.
Wow, you were into
just
it.
Totally consumed with golf. You know, it's funny how you pulled me out of it, too.
How did that happen?
Back injury slowed me down a little bit. I had found Christ in college, and, you know, you know, what a difference. What a difference in life without that game. I mean, that game is a great, kind, fun game, but it can be consuming. It was for me.
Dave, I had a friend of mine, Brad. His name's Brad. He was a high school junior, when he got diagnosed with cancer in his right ankle. And they took off his leg right below the knee. Listen to this, though. This is you'll love this. Because this guy is still my friend to this day. He's got 2 years on me. He's 63 years old. But when he was in high school, he was a jock. I mean, a jock. I mean, a super jock. Every sport. But he was laying in bed, and they were going to take off his ankle. And Dave, his dad, walked in, and he said, "Brad, what are you feeling?" And he said, "You know what I'm feeling, Dad?" And this is wise for a junior in high school. He said, "I'm feeling like sports makes a good hobby, but a really poor God."
Wow.
Mm-hmm. How about them words, buddy? And
that's awesome. I have to admit, Carl, my picture in heaven still has a little piece of golf.
Yeah. It does, but it's recreational. It's not worshipful. Right. Yeah.
Right.
I love it. I love it too, man. But Dave, great testimony. Wow.
Incredible. You can use all kind of things to try to quench that thirst, but only Jesus will. Only Jesus will.
Only Jesus. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.